For our offertory prayer. And Brother Daryl, if you'll come and offer our prayer for us.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for salvation. We thank you that you were willing to come and die on the cross that we might have eternal life. Father, we thank you this morning for this place that we can come and worship. We thank you for being with us. Lord, thank you for the ones that have come to minister to us. We just pray that you will bless them in a very special way. Father, we pray this morning that if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, that today might be that day that they come to have fellowship with you. Father, we ask that you forgive us for our sins. Guide us and direct us in everything that we do, for it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.
I will rejoice. do you love him?
Oh, yes.
God Almighty.
Are you anchored?
Are you anchored?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'm anchored. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
Yes. Will you serve him?
Will you serve him?
Oh, yes.
Will you serve him?
Hallelujah.
Will you serve him?
Oh, yes.
God Almighty.
Are you anchored?
Are you anchored?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'm anchored. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Will you praise him?
Will you praise him?
Oh, yes.
Will you praise him?
Hallelujah.
Will you praise him?
Oh, yes.
God Almighty.
Are you anchored?
Yes, I'm anchored.
Lord, I'm anchored.
Oh, yes.
Lord, I love you.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'll serve you.
Oh, yes.
Lord, I'll praise you.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
Thank you. you so much. Boy. Woo. Thank you. That's great. You just get them to sing like that. That's wonderful. Wow. If I came over, could you get me to sing like that? Oh. Blessings on you if you could. Oh. This is the second part of a sermon, so I'm going to fill you in on the first part real quickly here. Last week we learned that good shepherds smell like sheep. Why? Because they spend so much time with them. And today we're going to move along a little farther and talk a little bit about the sheep. So hopefully I can keep you in touch with this. The Bible word for shepherd is poimenos. And in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and in verse 14, he says, "I am the good poimenos, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." Now, a little later, Luke describes the shepherd in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And this time he gives the pastors another name. He says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." He's talking to the shepherds. "Overseers to shepherd," poimenos, "the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." And the Bible word there, just a little Bible trivia for you here, is the word episkopos, which is another name for a pastor. A pastor can be an overseer, episkopos, or he can be a shepherd, poimenos. Now, pastors are sometimes called overseers, so you can use the two terms. Now, I want to give you one more verse here, and this, we won't charge extra for this. This is in 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And here, these two verses, the pastors are called by two other names. And so let's look at them. Peter says, "The elders, presbyteros, who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow presbyteros," or elder, "and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." And then he speaks to the shepherds, the poimenos, and he says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, episkopos, not by compulsion, but willingly." So here what you have in the Bible in the New Testament are three different names that you could literally address your pastor by. You could call him the poimenos, or the episkopos, or the presbyteros. You could call him the pastor, the overseer, or bishop, or the elder, either one of them. The point being made clearly here is that they're all the same. You got that? They're all the same person. And it gets a little confusing sometimes when churches, maybe led by pastors, will create different offices, and you got elders, you've got bishops or overseers, and you've got pastors. Well, we're talking about the same person there. Scripture tells us that. Now, every church needs a good pastor. And we've already discovered that a good pastor is someone who smells like sheep. He's with the sheep all the time, and so much so that he smells like sheep. Now, let's see if we have any ladies who've grown up on the farm here. Have you ever heard the term "as dumb as an ox"? Never said that about anybody, I hope. What about "as stubborn as a mule"? Oh, "as dumb as an ox" or "stubborn as a mule." Tell me something, if you will. Why doesn't the Lord Jesus call his followers ox or donkeys? No, he doesn't do that. He says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Why does the Lord always address us as sheep? Because that's the most, that is what we are like the most. We're most, in the animal kingdom, we're most like sheep. And so that's why I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about who we are. Who we are. And ask you the question, what do you know about sheep? And I'll share with you what I've been able to glean over the past 50 or so years among the flock of the Lord. So we'll look at some of these. Why are we like sheep? Because sheep need special care. Sheep have to be tended to. They have to be cared for. Now, you can take an old goat and leave him out somewhere. He'll find all the food and water and whatever else he wants without any trouble. But if you do that with a sheep, if you put the sheep out to itself, he will just starve to death. He'll eat the pasture down until there's nothing left but the roots, and then there's nothing left for him at all. You see, the sheep doesn't have the instinct that the goat has. The goat has an instinct to find food, whatever else he needs or wants. But the sheep needs care. He needs tender care. And now you know why pastors are continually saying to their sheep and to their flock, you must read God's word, you must pray, you must give, you must serve. Don't forget that. Why? Because like sheep, we sometimes forget even our most basic needs. And so sheep need special care. That's why the Lord addresses us and calls us that. Here's something else about sheep. Sheep lose their sense of direction. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah understood this, and that's why he said that all of us are like sheep. We've gone astray, every man to his own way. It's so easy for us to lose our way. Don't you just like these stories of animals that get lost from their owners and then months later they show up on your doorstep, you know? How many of you saw the movie Eight Below? Did you see that? Eight Below? Did you cry? I thought so. It's a great movie. Eight Below is based on a true story of eight sled dogs that were left behind by their owner in Antarctica, of all places. And months later, the owner of the sheep came back expecting not to find any trace of the sheep, of the dogs. And lo and behold, they had all survived, eight below. It's a great story, you know. Now, you take a cat, put it in a paper bag, and take it, you know, 20 miles away and put it out somewhere, and it'll be back 2 months later with five more in it. Don't do that, okay? But on the other hand, if you were to do that with a sheep, you take a sheep around the corner, and it's lost. It doesn't know where it is. So now you know why pastors continually teach the same lessons, the same biblical lessons to their congregations over and over and over again. Why do you keep telling us that, Pastor? Because we get lost, don't we? We lose our direction, and we need to be reminded this is the way home. Something else about sheep. They're defenseless. They have no horns, really, to defend themselves with, and no teeth that they can bite with, and they don't run very fast. So sheep are, they don't know how to deal with predators very well. As a Christian or a follower of Christ, you are basically defenseless against the things of this world. Let me read a statement to you by the Apostle Paul in chapter 5 of Ephesians and verse 12. He says that we are defenseless against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. What's Paul saying there? He's saying it is very easy for you and me, as the sheep of our great shepherd, to get whipped, to be overcome, unless we stay and remain in the care of our great shepherd. That's why you see sometimes strong Christian leaders get shot down. You find some Christians who go astray. Why? Because they fail to remember that we're sheep. And that's why the pastor will keep telling you, stay close to the Lord, talk to the Lord, listen to the Lord. Why? Because we're sheep. I like the prayer that Johnny Hunt taught me years ago when he was just beginning his ministry, and I assume he probably still prays that today. I do. It's my daily prayer. I say, Lord, keep me close. Keep me clean. If that's all you take home with you today, you've got enough. Keep me close. Keep me clean. Why? Because I'm defenseless without the Lord. Here's something else about sheep. They're submissive. Sheep are submissive. Goats are not. A Christian is in real danger when he forgets that he is a sheep and begins to act like he's a goat. The goat ignores the shepherd, and he gets in trouble. And the reason so many Christians get in trouble in the church is that we tend to ignore the leadership of the shepherd God gives us, who's following the great shepherd. And we think, you know, I think I can do this. I know where I'd rather be than here. And we go off in that way on our own. We've become too independent to follow the Lord. And like goats, we think we've got the better plan. Forget the shepherd and the great shepherd who leads them. And we become fallible. Now, I know, being a shepherd, that shepherds are an under-shepherd. Shepherds are not infallible. We make mistakes. Oh, how we do. And when we do, the flock suffers. But I also know that when the sheep fail to follow the leadership of the shepherd whom the great shepherd has placed with them, they get in trouble. The fact still remains that we're sheep. We still need to follow the shepherds that God gives us. Let's sort of wrap this up a little bit. The sheep need shepherds. They truly do need shepherds. When sheep are moving to a new pasture, they tend to get lost. You know, sheep are creatures who like habit and the way things were. It's so easy for the sheep to want to stay where they have been before. Now, there's a problem with that, because when sheep stay in the same place, they eat all the grass, and they eat it right down to the roots, and there's nothing. And after a while, there's nothing left to feed them, and they starve to death. And so it's necessary for the shepherd to continue to move his sheep from one pasture to another. And in so doing, a good sheep is known by its willingness to follow the pastor, the poimenos that God has given them. A good sheep is known by its willingness to accept the change that God will bring from time to time, leading us from one pasture to another pasture. In the New Testament, for instance, there are a group of religious people who become known for their unwillingness to change. They were called Pharisees. And the basic thing with the Pharisees, the problem they had was that they just did not want to change at all. And they got left behind. Listen to the shepherd and wait for the great shepherd before you move. But always be willing to follow the shepherd. This is so important. In fact, the matter is, in scripture, or in practical day-to-day terms, when sheep are, they have this instinct to follow the shepherd. God puts that in us. We want a shepherd. And I'm not surprised when I hear this. When a church loses its pastor, one of the first things you will hear, I mean, you hear it real quickly, well, when are we going to get a new pastor? What's the search committee doing to get us a new pastor? Why is that? Because we're sheep. Sheep like to have a shepherd. This is not unusual to do that. Out in the field, when the shepherd needs to go and scout out a new pasture to take the sheep to, he knows how his sheep are. And so he will take his coat off and place it over a stick or something out in the field. And sheep have notoriously poor eyesight anyway. And so when they look up from eating and they see the shepherd's coat, there he is, and they keep eating. And why? Because sheep need a shepherd. And we know that. And it's a wise church, as you have shown yourselves in doing, to find an experienced pastor who will lead you through that transition from one pastor to another pastor. And in time, God will lead you to that person who we pray will be your 25-year, 40-year pastor who will lead you along the way. Now, just let's finish this with, these are the signs or the marks of a sheep, but they're the blessings from sheep. There are a couple of these. Shepherds or sheep minister to the needs of the shepherd. Do you realize that? Now, I'm not thinking here about the local pastor. I'm thinking about the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that as a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, you minister to the needs of the great shepherd? You said, I thought the Lord didn't have any needs. Well, he does not. But isn't this awesome to think about? Whatever need or desire that our Heavenly Father and our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, has as a sheep, you absolutely fulfill that. You satisfy every need of the great shepherd. I am the great shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know my name. And think of it like this. And I hope I never hear anybody who is a sheep say in a flock like a church, I don't matter around here. Nobody, I don't really count. No. Listen, if you can satisfy the great shepherd, you're something. You know, if you can make the great shepherd happy, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice, and I know them. Well, you are somebody. So sheep minister to the needs of the great shepherd and of their shepherds. One other thing here, sheep love to flock together. They have an instinct to flock together and run together. Now, a wolf knows that in order to have lamb chop for dinner, he cannot just run into at a flock of sheep and get a sheep out of that flock. I actually saw a Discovery Channel an actual stalking of a sheep flock by a single wolf who wanted to have lamb stew. And I watched the wolf do this. First of all, he created some kind of a diversion, and the sheep all started running. See, the sheep knew that in order to get one of these lambs on his table, he had to get them. He had to get the lamb separated from the flock. So he scattered the flock, and then he picked them out a nice lamb, and he brought it down and had it for dinner. Now, here's the point. Wolves rarely ever will attack the flock, the church, from outside. They will work on trying to get one of those sheep away from the sound of the shepherd's voice, away from the strength of the flock. And when they get that sheep alone, then the sheep winds up on the wolf's table. You get the picture? You need to remember that. That's why sheep, God puts an instinct into us. You may wake up on Sunday morning, it's snowing outside. That's not snow, folks. In Ohio, it's been snowing for 4 days now, and I don't know when it's going to stop. I've been there. But anyway, you wake up on Sunday morning. Why do you want to go to church today? Why do you want to be with the flock today? Because you're sheep. There's just something about it. You don't come to hear the sermon all the time. But you do want to be with the flock because there's strength, there's safety. And as one little kid put it, they sure know how to love a fellow down there. There's love in the flock. And so we're like sheep. Thank God that we're like that. That's what He makes us to be like. And sheep follow their shepherd. We follow our shepherd. And God called us sheep purposefully. If we can understand that, if we can grasp that, He will shield us from a lot of troubles and difficulties that we'll have along the way. And if I can keep that in mind, God will use me. He will feed me. He will strengthen me. He will keep me along the way. The shepherd will guide you away from the deep water. A sheep covered with all its wool gets into deep water, it'll drown. Shepherd knows where the water is shallow. He will lead you to pastures that are not only green, but they're free of weeds and poisonous plants. So we follow that shepherd that God gives us. We follow the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Now, as a shepherd, I don't have it all in my head. I need guidance every day. I need the Lord every day, and we all do. He is the great shepherd. I am His sheep. Finally, I just want to say that a great church has great sheep. A great church has great sheep. Just ask you this question. Are you a good sheep? Or is your role model a goat? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I am known by mine own. Seriously, this morning, does the good shepherd know your name? As I mentioned last week, a good shepherd knows the names of all of his sheep. Old torn ear, old one eye, fence crawler, slowpoke, all of those. I don't know what he calls me, but he knows us. Does the good shepherd, the great shepherd, know your name? If not, why not? Are you a part of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, why not? And here in a few moments, we're going to have a moment to consider that question. And I want to offer an open invitation to you today to become part of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ as a sheep. We don't accept goats. Only sheep. And we only have one shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the great shepherd. And as we share this time and wait before the Lord, I want to invite you to search your heart and answer those two questions. Am I His sheep? Does He know my name? Do I know Him? And if so, where is the body that I belong to, the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you join me in that prayer right now? Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts as we consider Your word and the truth that You have shown us today. Be our great shepherd. Be the one that guides us to green pastures and still waters and leads us through the dark valley, even the shadow of death. Lord, be the one that prepares for us a table before which we celebrate Your presence. I pray for those today who have decided in their heart, that person here, I know who Jesus is, and I want Jesus to be my shepherd too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue this time of invitation, I want to say to you today, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and helped you to understand who he is, and for the first time you realize, I'm his sheep. I want to be his lamb and belong to his flock, that you might take this moment and just say, come and stand with me a moment. I'm not going to ask you to make a speech or answer 10 easy questions, but if you would like to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior and allow him to be your great shepherd and follow him in every command that he gives to you, even the experience of professing what he did for you in baptism, come and stand with me a moment. I'll ask you why you're here, and you can tell me, I've come to follow Jesus. I'm one of his little lambs. He's my shepherd. Would you take a moment and do that while we sing? Let's stand, and you use this moment to share your testimony and your decision.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes.
Yes, Mandy. Why are you here today?
I will trust you and obey. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
That's a wonderful response. A wonderful response to make to the presence of the Lord as he speaks to your heart. In fact, a few moments ago while I was standing here, two of our young children came and I asked them why they were here. And so, Heather, would you come and stand with me a moment? Mom can stand with you. Sure. Come on. I asked Heather a moment ago why she was here, and she said, I want to follow Jesus.
Amen.
And we ask a couple other questions that I'll go over again with her. And then I said, if Mom and Dad give their permission and we sit down and talk about this, would you be willing to tell others what Jesus did for you by being baptized? And what did you tell me? Yes, she did. Thank you so much. And we certainly will sit down and spend some time together in prayer and looking into the Bible to see what baptism is and what it means and what God wants you to do in your life. Won't you two stand right over here a moment? And Era, come in. This fine young man came to me a moment ago and asked him the same question. And he said, I want to be baptized. And I said, well, let me ask you a question first. Would you be willing to follow Jesus as your great shepherd? And you said what?
Yes.
And he's already indicated that he wants to follow Jesus and show what Jesus did for him by being baptized. We're going to talk about that as well. And I know that you will certainly want Era and Heather to know that you are praying for them and with them. We'll let them stand right here a moment. And I'm going to ask you folks to respond to what you heard them say today. Would you pray for them? Would you accept them as lambs in God's flock?
Amen.
That's great. Well, we're going to do that. Thank you so much. And we got a couple other things. We're just going to kind of wrap things up here. I've got a little note here. This goes on your table, and it's got week one here, prayers for church lay renewal and what you should be praying about. Lay renewal is February 22nd, 3rd, and 4th, Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday. And then week two, you turn it around and you have things to pray about that week. We really need to talk with the Lord about what He has in store for this church over this next 3-4 weeks together here. Well, you're going to be hearing a lot about that. Now, as you leave today, someone will offer you one of these. Please take one home with you, put it on your table, and do what it says there. It says pray every day together. And following our worship time together here, we're going to do one of two things. One, these young ladies have been so gracious, and their director to be with us and minister to us today. I'm sure you would like to be a part of their ministry, and you can do that through giving. We're going to ask the ushers, where are the ushers? Let's get some more ushers back. And can we get some kind of a offering plate back again? We're going to take up an offering from here, and if we've got some plates here to do that, well, sure. While the choir blesses our hearts again, and I'm going to turn this over to Tom, and he will finish us out here, and these men are going to go and share with you at this time. Tom?
You may be seated at this time. You can remain standing. Let's have a prayer for this offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ladies of Lee that have come. We ask that you bless them and help us as we're a blessing to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. They have one last number which will be done in a special way. So I ask you to remain seated and they'll sing our benediction for us. Let's give one more hand.